Welcome to Trapping Radio. This is Clint Locklear, and we're going to be talking about knot trapping. That's what we're going to be talking about. Over the years, we've talked about business. Over the years, we've talked about personal motivation. We've talked about being better men. We've talked about society. We've talked about all kind of things besides just trapping. Now, that's probably 95% trapping, and that's what it's called, Trapping Radio. But today, I want people that hear me to start thinking about something that could be a little bit more important, whether you break your goal of catching 1,000 coon or not. Winter, I believe, is coming. Before we do, I want to thank our sponsors. We have the best sponsors in the trapping industry. I can say that because I know them all individually. I do business with all of them. I've done business way before they were sponsors. First one is F&T Fur Harvesters. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. They have a TV show that they allow me to be on, and I appreciate that. They and that show, if you didn't know, is strictly to get people that aren't trappers into trappers. They spend a crap ton of money on that show just to try to get some more people interested in trapping. They have great service. They have great products, great price. They have about everything you'd ever want. So, you know, they've been an original sponsor of Trapping Radio going back, 400 episodes. So if you're in the market for getting some of that stuff that they have, give them a shot. You won't be glad that you did. Next is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Alan is a good friend of mine. I do business with him too. I trust him so much that he keeps my product after I make it and he ships it out because he's better at it than I am and allows me to do other things instead of box all day. But the thing about Alan's company, it's just super honest. If you ever get to meet Alan at a show or you talk to him on the phone, you'll know that you're talking with someone that's got your back. And that's Alan at Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Next we have Oki Cable and Trap out of Oklahoma. He does full line of trapping supplies. He's got all kind of odds and ends stuff. He just sent me a big old batch of sodium benzenoite because we're getting a bunch of wholesale orders done. And I ordered it and within 24 hours it was sitting on my porch from Oklahoma. That's the type of stuff, type people you want to deal with. Last sponsor but not least is Dunlap Lures. Jeff Dunlap, good friend of mine. We're putting on a school together. We've got two spots left. You can go to wolfernation.com and look under our store and you can get all that information. Just two spots left and we're going to be having two classes. One's full, one's got two left. And then we're going to have a get together, kind of a trapping mafia convention, if you could say, first Friday and Saturday in October. And if you're looking for the information on that, it's the same place we're having the school. So if you go to Predator Control Group store, you look under business course and trapping school, and you will see exactly where it is and what it's going. It's going to be a lot more informal than regular trapping conventions. This is more of a bunch of guys getting together, having a good time. If you need some stuff, we'll have some stuff there. If not, we'll talk about trapping. We'll sit around fires and may throw some axes around. You know, tell them what we're going to be doing. I think Chip's giving a whole demo just on man grooming. Haggerty's coming down, and he's supposed to be doing some jello wrestling. So it's going to be a good time. Not just running in, running out with some stuff, we hope. We want it to be more of a like a trapper brotherhood type thing instead of just a business thing. Because I seriously doubt it's going to be a business thing for me and Jeff, because I seriously doubt we're actually going to make any money off the convention. We just want to do it because we want to do it. But he makes great lures. Him and his dad's been making these lures since the 70s. He's a good trapper. You can check him out at Trapping Talk on Facebook, the biggest Facebook trapping group there is, and there's a reason for that. So that's Dunlap Lures. If you're in the mood for he carries all kinds of fun t-shirts and lures and stuff like that. So Dunlap Lures. How many of us watched the Game of Thrones? Now some of you are going to go, I didn't watch no Game of Thrones. And I get it. that wasn't for everybody. It was like a, it was a violent drama with what we thought was a conclusion that wasn't. But there was a phrase in the North of Game of Thrones, and when anybody was saying something was serious or they needed to prepare, they'd always say, "Winter is coming." Now, the reason Game of Thrones, if you didn't follow it, the reason that was so important, right on the other side of what the North was in quote the known world, they had this big, huge, probably 20-story foot ice wall to keep out the bad guys on the northern part of that border and some supernatural things called White Walkers. Well, think of them kind of like ice zombies. And it would be hundreds of years between battles between the humans and these Ice Walkers. And that was always that phrase, "Winter is coming," was to keep everybody on track that yes, winter is coming. And when winter came, winter was not like a normal winter, like, you know, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, I guess if you live, you know, way up north. It could be for years. And they had to plan for this. And they had to put food storage back. And they had to build alliances and defenses and everything. Because if the White Walkers won, the human culture of everything was pretty much gone forever. And I want to use that analogy. I think winter is coming. Like I said, tonight's show is not about trapping. If you were coming to learn how to catch coyotes, I understand you're going to be disappointed. But I think this is something that we need to at least have in the back of our minds. Winter's probably going to hit us about November the 4th this year, which is a day after elections. Why would that be? Because I'm pretty sure no one is going to know who the president is on November 4th. Unless Trump has such a massive blowout that it's just no way to overcome it with bogus votes through the mail. There's no way that the lefts are going to give Trump the office again for 4 more years. They're not going to, Joe Biden is not going to accept that. So what does that mean? Have you really thought about what that means? Because they're setting everything up. I've read a lot back when I was in the military. One of my favorite hobbies was to read different military strategies, tactics of guerrillas, tactics of overthrowing governments. You know, I read stuff all the way back to Genghis Khan. I read stuff through Vietnam, Korea, you know, Sansun Honor War from Japan. I've really, you know, that was just, if I was going to be a warrior, I wanted to understand the art of war. And to do that, you've got to understand history to understand what the future is possibly going to be. And as the more that I've studied that and the more that I've been sitting back thinking, and I'll admit, where I live in the middle of nowhere on Watts Bar Lake, that if I had to give you directions without a GPS, I don't think I could get you here. All the riots and all of that craziness has not really affected me one way. And I know there's a lot of you that live in the same type places. You're far away from cities. Your job is not in a city. You don't have to go to the big cities. So it's probably not affected you. You watch stuff on YouTube and you see stuff on Facebook and Instagram and your buddies text you this, that, and the other. And you'll get fired up. But you know, at the end of the day, it's not really setting in what's going on. From a historical point of view, guys, from a guerrilla insertion point of view, we are already in a civil war. It's a cold civil war right now that's heating up. Yes, I said Civil War, which is complicated. It's not like the movies. It's not like, you know, there's going to be, you know, okay, the bad guys are on the beaches of Normandy and we have to storm Normandy. That's not what American Civil War is going to be like. I'll be honest with you. I have no idea what a civil war in this country, because it's not over terrain, it's over ideas. You have one side that believes in individual freedom and believes in individual responsibility. Then you have the other one that believes in social justice, and basically you can use any one of the terms of Marxist, socialist, communist, leftist, progressive, whatever you want to call it, it all boils down to the same thing. It always ends up with a bunch of people dead, a bunch of people poor, and a bunch of people lose their stuff. But it's not the same as other countries have had civil wars per se. I don't think it's going to be a race war, because majority Americans know that that is bullshit. They know that it's overhyped. Now, you got people that make a living off of this stuff that they want you to think that every day someone's getting lynched and hung in a tree somewhere, or cops just hunting people down like dogs and shooting them. But everyday Americans that go about their life realize no one really cares what the color somebody is. It could be class, which is what all socialism and Marxism overthrows of governments in the past have been about. But see, that doesn't work in America, because we have such a different view of opportunity in this country, where you can start poor, go to the middle class, and become rich. In most countries, it's almost like a caste system where you're born poor, you stay poor, and there's nothing you can do but be poor. Or you're rich and you stay rich. Well, see, that's very different in America, and that's the reason the class warfare hasn't started the way that it does in most other countries. So we're like a hybrid now of people thinking it's okay to shoot people over race, over class, over business, over corporations, all kind of different things, which means the battlefield of the American Civil War is going to be very complicated and confusing. Extremely. Because there's not like someone's trying to just like take over California or Alabama, or if you can conquer New York, it's over. No. It's a battle of ideas that's getting violent. Now, as I sit here looking at my office window at the lake, we just had a big storm come through. I've got ribs out on my Traeger smoker, and the sun's come back out, and I'm watching crows pick around in the front yard, and everything seems right in the world. But see, I know it's not. You know it's not. Even if you're really ignorant of the news around you, your gut's telling you something is really, really wrong. And it is, because from a historical point of view, what has been going on in America has happened in countless countries throughout history. You find ways to control the education. You turn the kids against their own history and their own parents, which, if you don't think this has happened in parents, there's a good chance that your third grader today is being taught how awesome mutual masturbation is with his schoolmates. But you didn't think that was going on in America. It's being passed all over the country. In my own state of Tennessee, because of virtue schooling, and that means that parents can actually see what's going on, a school district south of Nashville, Tennessee, sent out legal papers where parents had to sign that they were not allowed to watch what their own kids are being taught. If I was guessing, I would say that would be probably really close to something nefarious. Super greasy, slimy going on there. Your kids are also being taught from Black Lives Matter Incorporated, a $175 billion corporation funneling money to Democrats and not doing a damn thing for black people. And they're teaching your kids that they're automatically racist. You're racist. Black Panthers are good. And if you say anything bad about any of that, you're supposed to be reported to your teacher. And this will go in your kid's permanent record. And if they happen to stand up against it, it definitely goes in their permanent record forever that they're a racist. No, this can't be happening in America. America, man. America. Can't be happening here. That's just crazy, right? But it is. And down deep, I think you know that it is. Now, when you look back through history, how did the Nazis become so powerful in Germany? First, they started off with massive chaos. They had these little creatures called brown shirts. If you want to know what a brown shirt is, go watch a video on Antifa. If you don't give the palm up black power symbol, you get beat up. You get marginalized, you get made fun of, all kind of different things. The brown shirts would destroy businesses. The brown shirts would harass. Brown shirts would beat up. Brown shirts would kill. It was about 3 days ago, Black Lives Matter protesters found a Trump supporter out by himself, and you can hear him on the tape. We got a Trump supporter over here. Not 3 seconds later, pistol fire, double tap to the head, the dude is dead. You can see where it's now sport to run up behind white people and hit them in the back of the head with bricks. Some are dying, some are not. Some are probably seriously paralyzed, brain issues, all kind of, it's a sport. And you hear these barbaric, inhumane animals laughing like it's a video game or it's like something off Jackass getting kicked in the nuts. A 17-year-old kid is trying to give medical care and help protect businesses in Wisconsin and ends up shooting two protesters. When you watch the news, he's a white supremacist that's just killing protesters. No, one of the protesters was about to smash him in the head with a skateboard to kill him. He shot him. Good. The other one was the black guy that after has chased him several times being on film, knocked him to the ground, pulls out a pistol and is putting it up to his head to execute him when he pulls around with his AR-15 in time and shoots him. Good. Self-defense needs to be something that's understood in this country. Protesting, rioting, whatever, makes no difference. You have a right to protect yourself. And when someone's going to smash your head in with a skateboard or double tap you to the back of the head like they did the guy in Portland because he was a Trump supporter and that's what they said it was, you have to be able to defend yourself against barbaric people. Now, my wife loves sports. Her family grew up watching and playing sports. I played sports. I watch some sports, but it's not like something on Sundays I get all excited because football's on, or Saturday because football's on. I like watching UT. It's been really embarrassing the last few years. I like watching some of the college teams. I like the SEC. Can't help it. I like watching some of the pro games when it's a very emotional game and it's not so mechanized. But the only two programs that I get excited about every year is the 100, which is the top 100 players picked by the players on ESPN. It's an amazing, probably 10-show episode. The other one is Hard Knocks, where you go to a training camp of an NFL and you get to watch them go through training camp and you get to learn personalities of the coach and the players. Really good. This year, I couldn't finish watching it. Because at the beginning, they showed a video of Jacobs where the police were called because he was trying to assault the girl that he's already assaulted. And already has a warrant out on the first assault. So the police rush in. He tells them they have a knife. He won't show them their hands. They fire a taser, gets caught up in his coat, so it doesn't work. The guy, which just happens to be black, tackles the police officer, runs around to the other side of the car, and is grabbing something out of the glove box when they light his ass up. If you want to know how to die around police, do what that dumbass did. But now he's a hero. He's a martyr. And, you know, one of the most interesting things about some of the shootings going on in Portland is a lot of the guys that are getting shot are pedophiles and rapists. I mean, you couldn't pick a better group of people to be protesters. Barbaric. But I could not finish watching the show because I was getting so upset, and I can't even use the language I was saying last night. Well, my wife said, why don't we change the channel? I'm like, that's a good idea. Because the whole show was nothing about lies about what's going on in America. And you have these very gifted athletes that should keep their mouth shut on stuff they know nothing about, because the whole show was basically saying they knew nothing about what happened in Portland or the guy that was getting in his glove box when the guy shot, when the cop shot him. And they were having meetings about how racist America was, and it just went on and on, and I just could not stand it anymore. With all this crap that's going on, all of the violence, open violence. I want you to keep this little bit in mind. Open violence. Open destroying of buildings. Openly destroying all the cars in car lots. Openly shooting Trump supporters. Openly trying to kill Trump supporters. Trying to blind police officers. There's been 700, last I heard, 700 injured police officers since the guy had his neck with a knee on his neck. 700. Almost $1 billion worth of damage to buildings and property. 700 injured police officers. And it's not calming down, it's speeding up. And when you look now at what's going on, because the police, because of the politicians above them that set the policy, don't really let them do anything, the rioters are getting more confident. And the individual people are getting to the point where if the law is not going to protect us, we're going to have to protect ourselves, which falls into what the liberal media is calling vigilantes, white supremacist militias. No, it's people that are scared, have no protection, and they got animals coming in the walls called rioters. Not animals because of their color, because most of them are white. So they grab guns. They try to protect their business. The barbarians act like barbarians. The ones with the guns are still trying to live under the civilized rules that they've been grown up with. And those lines are getting blurred and blurred. Now, see, the interesting thing about this, this is how Chechnya fell. Most of the Eastern Bloc countries to Russia fell. Exactly. Same format that we're going through now. You get the children. You take over education. You keep building division. Over there, it was on class. Over here, it's on race. You wait till certain things happen that you can exploit. You get people in the streets. Other people start getting nervous because they got this freaking animals running around destroying stuff. And then you start vilifying the people that are getting hurt, which is what the media is doing now. And I think there's going to be a really warm place in hell for a lot of these media people for what they're doing. And then you have something like COVID, which no one really knew what that was. So we made the mistake of shutting down the country because we didn't really know what it was. You got politicians that are looking at doctors that are telling them what to do. See, Trump didn't even want to shut the economy down. But really, that's not up to Trump. That's up to governors and mayors of cities. But once it was clear, and especially after a lot of the lies have been exposed, which is getting ready to come into play what I'm getting ready to say, about COVID, now you've got governors like up in Michigan, which has turned into a little dictator bitch, that is destroying her own economy and making people's lives miserable. You got California, where you still can't really go into a restaurant. You can't go into a gym. The only people that's allowed to get their hair cut, apparently, is Nancy Pelosi, which I have to give kudos to the salon owner because the salon owner shut down because of people just like her. But Nancy Pelosi pretty much forced her to give her a haircut, even though she couldn't open for everybody else. But see, that's the way socialism always works. The people at the top always get the privilege. And the people at the bottom are scrambling for crumbs. So just the hair salon thing with Nancy Pelosi tells you what they want America to be. Great for them. Sucks to be you. So we got this added pressure of COVID, which from a revolutionary's point of view was a gift. Every time that I get on Google, Facebook, YouTube, anything, I'm overran with constant videos and stuff popping up from the big tech about how bad COVID still is. If you believe that still, either you had your head in the sand or you're a freaking moron. CDC had to basically say, no, it wasn't really 90,000 people in Florida that came down with COVID when it spiked. It was 10,000. Once Trump wanted to actually see the numbers and have his statisticians run over it. Why would the CDC be that way? I want you to think about this. Why would governors and mayors cripple their own economy? The year of election from the man who actually had the best economy in our history. One, it gets people upset about what's going on, and most people blame the president for everything. But more importantly, it causes chaos within people's lives and a lot of anxiety. When you get anxiety and you get mad, most of the time you react. Because you're not calm, cool, and collective like normal. You're on a razor's edge. You're worried if you can still make your house payment. Is your business going to stay closed? Is your employer going to be able to hire you back? What about when the money runs out from the loans? And then you throw all this other racist crap in here and all this capitalism crap in here. And everything is just, you know, it's almost like you know, one of those sci-fi movies where you got something that's getting hotter and hotter and hotter till it just blows. So we got violence in the streets. People are dying and getting beat to death and hurt. Economy's all screwed up. We got this election coming up, and about half the people, I would say, or probably 30% of the people, hate Trump to the point that they would rather destroy their neighbors' careers and have them get their house foreclosed than they wouldn't have Trump back in office. And I think around the country, most level-headed people are seeing that the Democrats are pretty much just batshit crazy. And they don't want any part of it. Kamala Harris just said that when Biden gets elected, don't expect the riots to stop, nor should they. So, the person that's going to be president, because Biden needs to go in a nursing home, is telling you that riots should be happening. Violence should be happening. Burning of people's property should be happening. Taking guillotines to people's neighborhoods and waking them up in the middle of the night and telling them they should give them their house. That should be happening under the vice president, which is next in line to be president. So this election is coming up. And all of a sudden now, mail-in voting becomes the most important issue in the world. Just like, you know, when they tried to prove that Trump was with Russia and they couldn't, and the impeachment, which was a joke, and everything they've tried to do, it's always the worst thing in the world. So, they're saying that Trump is trying to mess with the post office, which he's not. But let's not let facts get in the way of anything, where the votes won't come in. Like, the Democrats are just assuming that all the votes are going to be Democrat, not for Trump, of course. But see, that's not even the point either. I think what they're doing is they're putting up such a big show about the election being a fraud already. Hillary Clinton and a bunch of other high power politicians are telling Biden to not concede no matter what. They got lawyers for this. They're using the post office as a scapegoat. And what you're not going to see on CNN, because they pretty much don't tell you anything, is about 20% of all mail-in voting is cast out because the people don't get it put in the mailbox on time. They don't sign them. They don't fill them out right. The signatures don't match because half of them aren't even alive. You know, you got cats that are getting these things. Literally, feline cats are getting registration. Dead cats. And all you hear on the news is there's no fraud in elections from the liberals, and everybody knows that. And they keep repeating that over and over again. See, I saw this video that I thought was just mind-blowing on how easily people are manipulated. This goes for me too. A guy standing in front of a crowd of professional business people. Up on a wall, he's got a white circle from a projector, and I think it was a green or a blue circle from a projector that are the same size. They look identical. They look about 2 foot round. They're on a screen right there. Everybody's looking at them with their own eyes. And he goes, one of these circles is bigger than the other. Can you tell which one it is? Everybody's looking at these circles. They can see they're the same size. The guy that's in charge, the expert, the one giving the speech, tells him that one's different. So you start going, well, maybe the white one's got more overglow because it's white. And you start, I'm looking at it going, it looks the same to me. How can one be different? It's got to be an optical illusion somehow. So he talks about it a while, and he goes, okay, everybody thinks that it's blue. How many thinks the blue circle is bigger? Raise your hand. Half the crowd raises their hand. Now, who thinks the white circle is bigger? Raise your hand. Half the crowd raises their hand. And he goes, that's how easy you are to manipulate, because you can see they're the same size. And because I questioned you and told you they weren't, now everybody's picked a side of which one of these is bigger. So when the news is consistently saying that there's no fraud in mail order, it's like, which one of these circles is bigger? And they say it so often, with such certainty. I mean, they are professional freaking liars, that people just automatically, eventually believe it. So come November 3rd, you're not going to know who your president is, because you're going to have all of these votes that were put in the mail on the 3rd and supposedly postmarked. Unless it's a complete blowout, you're not going to know who your president is on the 4th, probably the 10th, probably the 1st of January or longer. The news is going to ramp up calling Trump a fascist and a dictator, and he should step down. He committed fraud, even though they're not going to have any evidence of it. But which one of these circles is bigger than the other? And they're going to be saying, well, 20% of the vote or 30% of the vote was thrown out. Do you see how crooked Trump is? No, historically, all mail-in voting is 20% thrown out because people don't do what they're supposed to do. That's why you should take your butt to a voting booth, or your vote doesn't count, because it's harder for a dead person to walk into a voting booth than it is to just put their name and a signature on something and mail it in. How freaking stupid is the American people to think this is a good idea? So Trump's going to say he's winning. Biden's going to say he's won. Are they going to say that it's fraud? Detroit, they did their mail-in voting. They had more ballots than they have people. And it came down to Detroit's election commission saying this is so intertangled that there's nothing we can do about it or come to any type of resolution. In Detroit. You don't think that's going to happen all over the country? So you got the right that's just looking at the liberals going, they're trying to steal the election. The left is going to be looking at Trump. He's trying to steal the election. We got buildings still smoldering all over this country. Blood ain't even dried on the sidewalks from last night's riots. Winter is coming. There's going to be a point where what some people call the silent majority, which I just pretty much consider the people that work, are going to go, enough is enough. And the liberals are going to have the freaking Antifa and Black Lives Matter and snowflakes and this little brown shirts running around trying to beat the hell out of everybody and burn everything to the ground, because they're going to whip them up into such fervor, they're going to lose their minds. If we get past this year without going to a shooting civil war, I'm going to be superly grateful, but I'm going to be shocked. The liberals have been trying to get revolution in this country since 1960, and it looks like they finally figured out a way to make it happen. Now, you can sit there like me, because for a long time, I've sat back and go, well, let them start a revolution. Bunch of snot-nosed little limp-wristed college kids, what are they going to do? We've got the guns. I mean, if you look at the rural areas of this country with hunting, There's more snipers spread across this great country of ours than there is in all the militaries in all of the world that can shoot people at 400 and 500 yards. And I was going, it seems so stupid to want a revolution against that. Japan saw that pretty easy in 1942. We're not going there. There's a gun behind every blade of grass. So what is the reason that they want a revolution? Massive chaos. Because if they can get the civilized working America to finally get pushed to the edge and they go barbaric on the barbarians, our economy is going to be absolutely destroyed. There's going to be people dying everywhere because they can't get medication. People are going to be robbing other people's houses because they don't have any food. They don't know how to get water. They're going to be getting dysentery. They're going to be trying to steal guns and ammo because they're scared out of their mind. And there's not enough police. I mean, I don't know how many police are in the county where I live. Maybe 20. They ain't going to do nothing. What are they going to do in real chaos? Nothing. And when the first skirmishes happen, it's going to look like a slaughter field against the liberals. And you know what's going to be on the news? See how racist the white supremacists really are? They're going to be screaming for UN to come in. They're going to be screaming for other nations to come in. They're going to be saying that the election was fraud, that if Trump wins, that he's not the true president, you need to help us get him out. It's going to be a nightmare. And they're setting that up on purpose. So I've said all of this to get to just a few minutes of what's really important. If you don't have a gun, get a gun. If you've waited this long to get ammo, you better get pretty active on getting some ammo, because it's getting hard to get, because you're not the only one, and I'm not the only one that has this feeling in our stomach that crap's about to get really serious and real, and the people with guns definitely usually win against the people with the sticks. See, something I've never... Since after being in the military, I've never felt the need to have another kit that I could grab and put on a moment's instance and I can go back into the painted face mode. Never. I've got them coming for my 308 AR, and I've got them coming for my 223 AR that my wife can wear. Never since I've been out of the military have I thought I needed a vest that I can carry 10 magazines of 308 for my AR. Never. I think it's going to be pretty freaking important. Now, if you don't have guns or ammo, you need to figure out a way to get some, and I mean legally. You need, please, you need to try to have 3 to 4 months of at least staple food that you can supplement. I'm not talking about going out and buying 600 pounds of wheat berries and all this. No, no, no. Just get you some rice, get you some pasta, get you some frozen vegetables if you've got a generator, because the power is going to be... Who in the world's going to go run the power stations with a civil war going on? Maybe some dehydrated food. See, the gift that we have as trappers is, even though we may not consider everything we catch as food, it can be if it needs to be. If you can snare a cow, you can snare a deer. If you can snare a deer, you can snare a hog if you have them in your area. And beaver are awesome to eat. Raccoons, not my favorite, but by God, I can eat one. You need to be set if you live somewhere like I do, whether you're in, you know, half a day's walking to a lot of fish. You need to make sure that you've got some nets. you need to make sure that you've got plenty of line and hooks and lures and stuff like that that you can catch fish. You may think that I'm going crazy bunker style, and I'm not. I'm just talking about be halfway prepared for this crazy world that we're living in. Another thing that if you can, you need to try to have 3 to 4 months of income not in a bank. Because if you think payments on a house stops because of a civil war, you'll find out when it's over with, you done lost your house, your cars, whatever. You need to have a way to be able to pay that. Even if you have to go to the bank and hand them cash. If you have medicines that you have to have, or your dad or your mom or your neighbors, you need to be trying to figure out a way to try to get a little bit ahead of that. Because if somebody has to have medicine to stay alive, if you don't think, what's one of the first things they always burn down for some reason? Walgreens. Why? I have no idea. But how are you going to get medications? How are you going to get your insulin if you're diabetic? It used to be you had to keep that somewhat cool or it wouldn't work very well. I don't know if that's changed. How are you going to keep it cool? Airtight container in a creek, maybe? Do you have a generator? Do you have a basement? Can you bury the freaking thing to get it as cool as you can underground in the summer? I don't know. If it does go really sideways, most of us are going to have rain gear, but make sure it's not leaking. Good pairs of boots, lots of socks. Know how to work your guns. And if I was you, because there's still a little bit of time, I might really think about trying to get in shape, like you're going to go in the military or a police academy over the next 2 or 3 months. Because as stressful as combat is, I can't imagine how stressful it is if you can't breathe, if you've got to walk more than 100 feet or run 100 yards. I would definitely get in shape. You need to get your defense in order. You need to get food and water in order, medications in order, money in order, and yourself in order. If you live in a city, for goodness sake, don't be there on the 3rd of November. Find a relative that lives out somewhere and just, you know, even if you got to pay them, go. Just because CNN says that they're peaceful protest with nothing but burning buildings and screaming bodies in the background, it's really not somewhere you want to be. You don't want your kids to go through that. You don't want to take a chance on your wife. And you don't want to take a chance on yourself, because who's going to protect them afterwards? Get your shit in order. That's what we used to say in the Army all the time. Get your shit in order. Because when it's go time, it doesn't care if you're ready or not. It's go time. If you live out in the country, I think that you're a lot more protected. If you live in a city with a vice president that thinks there should be riots, dudes, you need to be trying to sell your property and move somewhere. I don't give a crap how much money you make at that job. Because after the riots, just like in the 1960s, it was an average of 15 years before capital started going back in those areas because nobody wanted anything to do with them. you're about to see mass exodus coming out of cities, which you already are, but it's going to get really interesting. Property where I am, in the middle of nowhere, are being bought up from people from New York, California. From Knoxville, from Nashville, Atlanta. Because they know that's not where they want to be. Because it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better just because Trump gets elected. Because if he does get elected, and it's such an overswell in his favor, a landslide. If you don't think all the people that's been rioting are not going to try to burn America to the ground, you're a fool. And it's not just if they can get to your house. It's going to matter if you can still be employed, if you still have power, if you can still get gas, if you can still get medication. See, that's what I don't think a lot of people understand. I mean, it looks to me like about 80% of the people in Antifa are on some form of Prozac or antidepressant. I don't know what they're going to think they're going to do when they run out of that medication. People that live off weed, good luck. If you chew or smoke, I suggest you get a little stockpile going. If you drink, you might want to get a few cases. See, this is not, I'm talking about going to build a bunker and start putting up booby traps. Just be prepared. Because I really think the left is doing everything they can. And they're quite amazed already that there already is not a civil war, which shows you the power of the civilized. But they're trying the best to get the revolution that they wanted back in the 60s. And they've got just enough brain dead people with no souls that thinks it's funny to hit people in the back of the head with a brick and laugh at them as they lay on the ground. That is who they are. But where are they? They're not going to have a compound. They're not going to have land. I have no idea what's going to happen. But whatever it is, I'm trying to make sure that just like in the Army, I got my shit together. And if you're a man of a household and you don't get yours together, and it goes sideways, all of the misery that's going to follow is because of you. Because I don't think if you noticed or not, the police really don't do anything for riots. There's not enough National Guard if that sets off in 15 or 20 cities. Part of me, the barbaric part of me, wishes Trump would just say, hey guys, can y'all take care of this mess? See, this is the reason I will never be president. Not that I'd want to, but I would never be president. Because that's what I've already said. Someone picks up a brick and throws it, they get a hole. They try to set something on fire, they get a hole. They try to block traffic, stomp the gas. They try to pull people out of a car, light them up. And if any local jurisdiction wants to give you a hard time about that, you'll get a pardon from me. See, that's the reason I'm not president. Winter's coming, guys. And I seriously hope you get prepared for it. And I seriously hope I'm wrong. But if we get out of this without a lot of shooting, I'm going to be amazed. And trust me, I want to be amazed. But the liberals and Antifa and Black Lives Matter that are supposedly for the black people and screaming death to America, just like Iran, if you think they're just going to go away on November 3rd, if Trump wins, dude, you got something else coming. Because historically, through history, when this form of taking over a country happens, it doesn't end just because of an election. It's a sad place we're in, but I think it's one we can get through. Next week, guys, I promise you, we'll talk about travel.